The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So I thought I would share a little bit about my family to start this off. So first of all, the roles have reversed. They've kind of always been reversed when it comes to parenting. Like, I am parenting my parents. And listen, you know what season we're in. I'm not going to mention the C word, but you know what flu season we are currently in. I just have to keep telling Marge and Bill, no means no. You are not allowed to go out. I mean, these two are living their very best life right now. Now, they live in Michigan, and I'm not sure when you're listening to this, but the governor has put the lockdown on, and they're not supposed to go out anyways because they're in their 70s. But these two are the biggest extroverts of all time. Not only do they need to be around people, they need to be making new friends like daily, and they do more before noon most days than I do all week. So I'm constantly, I've been telling them, it's like role reversal. I'm like, you are grounded. You are not to go anywhere. I have more to share with you. But today on the Chalene Show, I'll be sharing with you suggestions and practical tips to help you improve relationships and communication with family.
Welcome to The Chalene Show. Chalene is a New York Times bestselling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and obsessed with helping you live your dream life.
There's a concept in journalism referred to as the five W's, or sometimes you hear it referred to as the five W's in one H, which stands for the following: who, what, where, when, and why. Those are the five W's. The one H is how. And I want you to remember those five W's and one H when it comes to improving communication with your family. We're going to start with the when. This is a very personal example of how we communicate in our home. It's one that took place either yesterday, oh, I can't remember if it was this morning or yesterday morning. Oh, the days are all blurred together. Our two adult children, school has been canceled, college has been canceled, who knows for how long, and they are sheltering at home with us. We are empty nesters no more. There needs to be a term for that. Anyways, Sierra has this thing, like she drinks more water than I do. With Brett and I, we have kind of a smaller refrigerator, and it has one of those ice drawers that's below the freezer, like kind of near the floor, near the ground almost. It's like one of those drawers that you pull out, and that's where the ice maker is, and it fills up. And after like just a couple of days of the kids being back here at home, like we're running out of ice. Like, who runs out of ice? The ice machine is normally like overflowing, and I have to like dump it out half the time. But we were running out of ice, and we were like, what is going on? And Sierra's like, it's not me. It's not me. Well, meanwhile, she walks around with one of those big giant Yeti bottles, and she fills it up with ice like 24/7. God bless her. She drinks a ton of water. That's an awesome thing. So we started giving her a hard time about it. Like, okay, Sierra, ease up on, you know, everyone's running around trying to find toilet paper and ventilators. And meanwhile, we would just like some ice. Is that too much to ask? Like, be a little bit more considerate of the frozen water, would ya? Kind of joking with her. So this morning, Brett and I wake up and we're in the kitchen. We're making coffee. I'm about to fill up my water bottle for the morning, and there's a little post-it note on the ice machine that says, be careful of the ice. Not on the ice machine, on the drawer that's underneath our freezer, right? Do you understand what I'm trying to describe? There's a little post-it note in Sierra's handwriting. It says, be careful of the ice. And so I was like, what is this? He's like, I don't know. She's probably messing with us because we've made such a big deal about the ice. I'm like, yeah, that must be it. So I fill up my water bottle, and I didn't drink from it, thankfully, because about 10 minutes later, Sierra walks down the steps, and I'm like, hey, what was the beware of ice thing? And she goes, oh, I broke a glass last night before I went to bed, like while I was getting ice, and I was thinking like maybe some of the glass might have like shattered into the ice. And I'm like, well, you dumped out the ice, right? And she looked at us kind of surprised, and she's like, no. And I'm like, so you, this is the ice from last night with the glass in it? And she goes, well, yeah, I didn't want you guys to like wake up and not have ice and be mad at me. I'm like, oh, how thoughtful. You don't want us to be without ice, but it's okay if we drink ice that has glass in it. Like, oh, the common sense. You know, but let me say this. Our whole family, we all joke with each other. And like that to me was like a really funny moment. And Brett and I really wanted to like kind of make a big deal about it and say like, Sierra, hello, common sense. That could have killed somebody, right? But it wasn't the right time. Girlfriend is not a human. She's not a human until about noon. She needs to have her coffee, her iced coffee. She needs to drink her water from her giant Yeti bottle. She needs to get her workout in, and she needs to listen to her music, and she needs to go for a walk by herself. That is my girl, and I know her, and I know this about her. So as much as we wanted to razz her and give her a hard time about it, we knew that from our reaction, our facial expressions, she realized, okay, that was not the brightest move, to say the least, but it wasn't the right time to approach it with her. And that's my first tip for you is you have to know. Timing is everything when it comes to communication. Now, when I say communication, I think we both know what I'm referring to is maybe uncomfortable conversation or important conversation. I'm not just talking about regular dialogue. Hello. I'm talking about the type of communication where you need to ask someone to do something, to understand something, to cooperate, to participate. Those types of conversations, that's the type of communication that I'm referring to in this episode. So that's step one. And that is really incumbent upon you taking a pause and asking yourself, okay, this is important and it needs to be communicated. And I have to think about the person who I'm communicating this with, because every single individual in your family, you know them well enough to know when they feel good about themselves, when it's a good time, like they're happy, they're confident, things are good between the two of you. You know that. And you know when they're busy. You know when they're stressed. You know when it's too much. You know the right time of day and the wrong time of day. If you're married, you know that these conversations are always best after sex. Ladies, that's just hashtag duh, right? But for everyone else in your family, and maybe for certain conversations with your significant other, you have to really use your common sense and self-control. Because when it's something important, we feel like this has to be addressed right now. And I can't move on. I'm upset about it right now. I need to address this. So it feels urgent to you. But I'm asking you to use common sense, self-control, hit the pause button, and then think to yourself, what is it that I want? Well, I want this person to understand, or I want this person to change, or I want this person to participate, whatever it is that you desire. If that's what you want, your next question to yourself is, do I desire this outcome badly enough? Do I want it bad enough that I can wait and actually have this conversation when this person is in the right mood, when it's more likely to be received in a positive mindset, when this person is more receptive to this conversation? That has so much to do with that individual. So it's not about when it's good for you. It's all about when it's right for them. The next W you have to figure out is what? What is the outcome that you desire? Let me give you an example. Let's assume I need to prepare for a podcast. I like it to be quiet. I need the house to be relatively organized. And I need to be alone in a space where I can really concentrate, write some notes, do some research. And let's just say it's my husband, is trying to have conversations with me. He knows that this is the time when I have scheduled myself to be preparing for a podcast. He can see that I have my laptop open and my notebook, and he can see that I have my headphones on, but he continues to try to talk to me. My natural reaction would be to get annoyed, right? To say to him, we've had this conversation before. You know, you can see that I have my headphones on. You can see that my laptop's open. You can see my notebook. And I just need you. I need you pointing, right? Figuratively, literally. I need you to do fill in the blank. That would be a natural reaction, even in that moment. My next step would then to ask myself, what is it that I want? you don't yet need to ask yourself what you need to say. Rather, you want to start with thinking, what is it that I desire? Well, I desire that he will understand my needs and he'll feel good about it and he will want to help me. That's what I desire. I don't desire him to feel bad. I don't desire him to apologize. I don't desire anything other than an outcome that makes us both happy. That's what I want. With that in mind, I then have to consider who. Who is at fault here? Our natural reaction is to think that it's the other person, right? To say, listen, I'm here trying to do this research for the podcast and you are interrupting me and you're asking me questions and can't you see that my laptop's open and can't you see that I have my headphones on? Like that is to point at the other person and say, it's you. But that's the wrong way to approach this. And let me explain why that doesn't work. The next is who. None of us feel good when we feel defensive, when we've been called out. No one likes to be wrong. No one likes to be told what to do. No one likes to be uncomfortable, right? I mean, let's face it, that's most of what we do in families is try to avoid discomfort in all relationships. We want to be comfortable. We want to be liked. We want to be right. And we certainly don't want to be to blame. I want to give you an example of this, but before we do, other podcasts that you might listen to. I'm a podcast listener, and I've noticed this week, in the last 4 weeks, a lot of the regular podcasts that I listen to haven't been featuring sponsors. And at first, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. Oh, cool. There's no sponsors. I can just like fly through the episodes. But then as our own show sponsors started to pull back their advertising, I started to have a very different feeling each time I would hear a sponsor on other people's podcast. Here's what I realized. When I'm hearing someone paying for a spot on a podcast that I love, that's a really good sign. That's a good sign about our economy, and it's a great sign about that podcast. And I need to be excited when I hear a sponsor on one of my favorite podcast shows because I love that podcast. And I know that that podcast is made possible in part because of that sponsor. And I'm sure you've had this happen to you too, where you wake up and like your favorite podcaster hasn't updated their feed that day and you kind of like stomp around because it messes up your whole routine. Like you were planning on listening to that. You were looking forward to it. Now it's not there. All of that is possible in large part because of sponsors. That's what's allowed me to have 5 episodes a week between The Chalene Show and Build Your Tribe is our sponsors. And with this whole crazy pandemic going on, a lot of companies, the first thing to go was their podcast advertising, but not all of them. So today, more than ever, I want you to notice those companies who've said, we are going to take care of your lifers. Chalene, we believe in you. We believe in the people who listen to your show, and we want to continue to show up because it means more now than ever. And one of those companies is My Soul CBD. I could not be more blessed or have more gratitude for the loyalty that My Soul CBD has shown to The Chalene Show. So it is with great pride that I tell you today's show is sponsored by our friends at My Soul CBD. We interrupt this broadcast to answer frequently asked questions about CBD. It's crazy how many questions I get about this topic and how many misconceptions there are about CBD. First of all, CBD, there are many different forms. There's many different types, and you can buy it now at your local gas station. Because it's not regulated by the FDA, you need to be hella careful about using a very reputable company. Some things you need to understand about CBD. First of all, the type of CBD that My Soul CBD produces is a pure CBD, which means you can't get high from it. There is no THC, which is the part of the plant that gives you that hallucinogenic or the high characteristics that people refer to. My Soul CBD is an isolate. There's no other ingredients. It's pure. And the other reason why I love My Soul CBD is because they actually care about the manufacturing process, how it's farmed, how it's packaged, quality control, and taste. CBD oils are very much like protein powders. Like, there's some stuff on the market, because it's not regulated, where you don't know what you're getting. You don't know what you're paying for. You don't know what you're putting in your body. And that's why it is so imperative that you go with a company that actually cares about the reputation and the quality of their ingredients and has that brand integrity. And that's why I recommend My Soul CBD. And as a Chalene Show listener, you get 20% off when you go to mysoulcbd.com, and you have to enter, don't forget, enter the code Chalene for your 20% off. All right, so what should you pick up your first time? Well, I'm a big fan of the watermelon flavored dropper oils that you just put under your tongue, or you can put it in a drink. If you're not into oils, their gummies are like quite tasty, I might add. And their bedtime capsules, which are CBD combined with melatonin. Those are remarkable. Those are my three picks. Don't forget to enter Chalene when you check out at mysoulcbd.com. All right. Now let's go back to your childhood. Your mom or dad would walk into the room and they would say, "All right, I need to know who did this. Who did this?" That person was the person at fault. None of us want to be at fault. It's a horrible feeling. When we have conversations, when we communicate with our family, you have to remember the same is true. Nobody wants to be at fault. Even if it is that person's fault, if it's a thing that they have to change, if they feel like they're being attacked, if they feel like it's about them, then they are the who. People don't change. People don't receive feedback when they're feeling defensive or negative. And that's exactly how we feel when someone says to us, "Okay, here's what I need you to do," or "Here's what I need you not to do." We're placing blame and or responsibility on the other person. So put yourself in that situation. Imagine that someone has told you it's your fault. It's your responsibility. You messed up. It is your doing. Naturally, that's going to make you feel defensive. Nothing about those statements makes you want to rise to the occasion and be the better person. I think you get the point. When it comes to improving communication, the who of this equation is you. No matter what it is, I promise your success of reaching the outcome that you desire, the what, is much higher if you make the who you. So to use that same example of me, like trying to prepare for a podcast and Brett is, you know, talking to me and distracting me when I've asked him for this time to concentrate, I have to make it about me. The way that I could make it about myself is to say, "It has got to be so frustrating for you to have to deal with someone with a brain like mine. And because, honey, I know you've got like creative ideas and I interrupt you and it's no big deal. So it's got to be like super annoying to you that my brain works this way and that I need to like have complete quiet and distraction. And so I know it's a pain in the butt, but it helps me so much because of the way my brain works. I'll try to do a better job of either putting my headphones on or maybe going into another room, because when you're trying to have a conversation with me or ask me questions, I just feel really bad because I know I need to concentrate and I know I probably seem disinterested or distant or short-tempered when you just want to have a normal conversation with me. And I feel bad because this is the way my brain works. Maybe if we can kind of work together in this way, you can help me to deal with this a little better, because I feel so bad. And I know it's me. I know it's the way my brain works. So it would be so helpful to me if when you did see me with my headphones on, laptop open, notebook out, and you know I'm preparing for the podcast, and you have something you want to ask me or something you want to talk about, if you could just, maybe you could even write it on a note, or you could just say, "Is this a good time?" And then I wouldn't feel so bad about the way that I respond when you just have like a simple question. In that example, I've made it about me. I haven't made it about him. It's my own shortcomings. It's my own special needs. And I'm not putting the ownership on him. I'm putting the ownership on me. I become the who. Bonus tip, this is also the technique that I recommend to people who are trying to get a loved one to go to therapy. When you tell someone else they need to go to therapy to fix themselves, how effective do you think that technique is? I'm going to tell you, it's not very effective. But if you say to someone else, specifically your husband, your wife, your child, your sister, whoever it is you know they need to go to therapy, make it about yourself. Get your butt in therapy first and then suggest to that person that you love that you'd like for them to come because it would be helpful for you. That you're trying to work through your issues and you believe that by them going to see the counselor or by them maybe talking to someone about some of their own issues, because that's what it's about, right? You wouldn't care that this person needs to go to therapy if in some way, shape, or form their life wasn't intertwined with yours. So it's a very honest and reasonable statement that it would help me. I know it would help me and my issues. And my therapist also agrees that it would be helpful if you were to go and talk to him or her, or if you were to go and talk to your own therapist so that maybe you'll have a better understanding of how we can communicate together. Like, make it about yourself. That is your best shot at getting someone who doesn't realize they have issues to go into therapy, because we naturally want to help others. All right, so thus far we've covered the who, we've covered the what is it that you want, the when, and the last two W's are the where and the why. Well, the where you do this matters nearly as much as when you do this, for the very same reasons. We want people to be comfortable. Your best chance of success is when you are approaching the subject in an environment where the listener is very comfortable, actually feels confident. The worst place to do this is in the presence of others. That's never a good time to do it. The worst place to do this is in a situation where this person has to be on, has to be focused, has to be on guard, can't be themselves. They're already uncomfortable, already awkward, already feeling insecure. You want to do this where the person feels the most comfortable. The last W is your why. Why do you want to do this? And that's really an important question. What is it you hope to gain? What is your motivation? Why are you motivated to have this communication? If the answer to that isn't because it will bring harmony to the relationship, not just it's good for you, but it's going to bring harmony, happiness, closeness, trust, and understanding, if it's not going to bring those things to your relationship, you need to question why it is you want to do this. When you've identified your why, you'll find it will motivate you to be more patient. It's not about you. It will take your ego out of it. It will keep you disciplined. It'll keep you focused. It'll keep you determined. It will allow you to do things that you otherwise thought you couldn't do. If your why is your children, if your why is the safety of a loved one, if your why is your dignity, when you identify the significance of your why, all of the other W's fall into place. And lastly is the 1H, which stands for how. So it's 5 W's, who, what, where, when, and why, and 1H, how. How you do this is the 5 W's. How you approach each of the 5 W's will determine the likelihood of your success. Approach each of the 5 W's with the following recipe: love, kindness, empathy, and patience. Listen, I know I'm making this sound far more simple than what it really is. I get it. These things, you have to write them down. I mean, especially when you're angry. Especially when you feel like you are right and they are wrong and this needs to be addressed now. And they just don't see all of the ways that they have wronged you. It is so easy to get wrapped up in your emotion and to forget how important your why is. To forget what it is you're trying to accomplish and to just rely on your instinct to react with emotion, to react with anger or sadness or rage or impatience. But it just doesn't work. And it's when things are the toughest. It's when you want to leave. It's when you're so angry. It's when you want to scream. It's when you want to declare the relationship over for good, no matter who it's with, whether it's with a parent or a sibling or a significant other. It's in those moments that you need to remember there is a formula. You need to write these things down. I'm telling you, I had a journal and there were times, and I've talked about it many times on this podcast, where I didn't know if Brett and I were going to make it, or I've lost my temper with one of my kids, and it just, your emotions are running so high, it's really hard to be the bigger person, to be the quiet hero. And that's how you have to look at it. Because when you feel like you're in the right, when you feel like this person has done wrong, it's so easy to just react. But you won't be successful. In order to be successful, you have to breathe. You have to take a pause. You have to look at this formula. You have to think about human emotions, emotional intelligence, how people respond. You have to put yourself in their shoes. You have to think about how people feel, not how you want them to respond, but how humans respond when they feel like they're being backed into a corner, when they know they've done wrong, but they don't want to admit it, when they feel shame or anger, when confidence is low, when stress is high. In order for people to be their best, in order for you to get the best possible outcome, people need to feel their best. And that is true whether we're talking about a coworker, the people you're in quarantine with, your significant other, your brother, your sister, your mother. It's just true of all humans. So maybe go back and re-listen to this episode, especially if you're in the middle of it. And maybe jot down a few notes in your journal, a place where you can refer back to it the next time things are heated and you want to respond in the moment. I hope this has been helpful to you. Thank you so much. You're incredibly helpful to me. Every message that you leave for me, every review that you leave for the podcast is so incredibly important, especially right now. I think people are just consumed by what's happening in the world, but our reviews for the podcast have, well, we haven't had any in the last week, 2 weeks, which is really sad because that's what I go to for a pump me up before I get to sit down and talk to you. And I'm not pandering for reviews because I know that I'm loved because you leave me these voicemail messages. So I want to play this one really quick because I always want to honor those of you who leave these voicemail messages and say thank you for taking the time to go to my website, shalene.com, and click on that little button that says send a voicemail message. Because I love listening to these, but honestly, what really helps the podcast the most is when you write a review on iTunes or whatever app you listen to podcasts on. If you just write a review on that particular app, it really, truly helps the show. And right now, we need that. We've lost a lot of sponsors because of what's going on in the economy. And the one way that we can really stand out is by having 5-star reviews. So thank you for writing those. I appreciate that. But in the meantime, Christina, thank you for leaving this review.
Hi, Shalene. My name is Christina. I am listening to your most recent podcast, and I could not get halfway through it without thanking you. I am so thankful that you are recognizing the challenges that people are going through. There's some helplessness and there's some hopelessness that is happening, and even anger. It's almost like a grieving process. I really so much appreciate you recognizing this. I, too, have been very worried about people's mental health. People's support systems have been ripped away from them in this isolation and in this quarantine. I was also concerned about the suicide rate because we have high suicide rates in recessions anyway. Coupled with the quarantine, honestly, very traumatic for people. So thank you so much for addressing these things that don't seem to be addressed. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much.
So thanks in advance to anyone who's got a little extra time this week between homeschooling your kids and trying to get work done, everything else. I really just want to tell you, I love you. Thanks for staying connected to me inside of our podcast group too. So if you haven't joined that community, we're on Facebook. It's a group of us who listen to the Shalene Show and Build Your Tribe. And that's where I get ideas for the show and connect with you guys. So if you have additional questions about anything I've talked about here on the show or a guest, etc., that's a great place to get your answers. Just go to Facebook and type in Shalene's Pod Squad. I'm sure we'll put a link in the show notes as well, and we would love to have you there. Hey, listen, I appreciate you. I love you. I mean it, and I'll talk to you soon.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.